93.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And good afternoon, Rochester. You are listening to Soundbites, the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And just kind of sit back the next 2 hours. We will be taking your computer questions. Want to remind you folks, you can pick up the phone and give us a call. The phone number is 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And we're still kind of getting set up here in the studio.
Yeah.
Dennis brought in his lovely daughter again. She hasn't been here in... What?
It's been a while. At least a couple years, I think.
I was going to say at least three.
Yeah, yeah. I asked her, hey, you want to come along? And she said, shrugged her shoulders and said, all right, sounds fun.
No, it's always good to have the family enjoy it.
We'll try something new.
Yeah, hey, the more the merrier, especially in this studio, you know.
That's right.
But again, you know, if you folks do have a question, the one thing I want to raise, and not many folks got back to us last week on it, was with the Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What great deals did you really get into?
Right.
And along with Cyber Monday?
Right.
Of course, I've noticed in the advertising, they're changing it, though. Instead of just being Cyber Monday, It's now Cyber Week.
Sure.
Draw it out longer.
That's right. And don't forget Small Business Saturday.
Yes, we had that on Saturday. Again, for the folks that don't know what that's going about, it's trying to support the local shops here in Rochester.
Right.
Rochester and the surrounding areas. Trying to keep your money locally. Because, you know, it's especially like with computer repair. You know, I mean, you got to have a face. Yes, you can order the big boxes, you know, from like the Dells and the Gateways and the HPs and all that.
Yep.
But you know what? When you have an issue, it's great to be able to take it someplace and have a face to look at.
That's right.
And say, broke, fix.
Well, yeah, rather than having to get on the phone and speak to somebody who may or may not speak the same type of English that you speak.
And they're reading out of a cookbook.
And they're reading out of a laminated three-ring binder.
Yeah.
Of the steps to follow.
Do this. Yeah, I've done that. Oh, I remember one time, going back a while, I was on one of the numbers for a client talking to Quicken.
Okay. Yeah, Intuit.
And of course, it was third party overseas. And I could sit there and after just talking to him a few minutes, it's like, okay, I know this is not going to go well because already I know more about the software than they do. I don't think they've ever seen it running. But it's already... Let's move on to the next step.
Right.
Well, sir, I have to... skip that page and let's go on down.
Now, all this being said, some is considerably better than others.
Yes. Oh,
so,
definitely.
And stateside or overseas, some support is always going to be better than others. So I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here. But,
no.
But in general, your point is well taken. Having somebody that you can look into their eyes and say, look, I'm really having a problem with this. I think this might be something you can help with. If it is, that's great. If not, let me know what I can do next. But having somebody you can actually talk to is really worth something.
Yeah, and you know, having to ship it off. I mean, that's the other thing. A lot of them will sit there and say, well, we got to send it back to the factory.
Right.
That could be a good week or better.
Oh, easily.
The factory in China, maybe.
Well,
that could, yeah.
It depends. I mean, a lot of manufacturers have repair depots here stateside, and in general, they do a pretty good job of getting things turned around. And oftentimes, at least in the Apple world, and Steve can probably comment a little bit on this, they will fix multiple issues at once that you're having. Like if you've got a product that you've had for a long time and one of the little feet fell off the bottom, as well as some other major problem you're having, or if you've got some big issue, but there's also a cosmetic issue with your product, they will often handle that as well, just even without asking. It's just part of what they do.
Mm-hmm. And like I said,
and a lot of people wait. In fact, we have this argument with Apple a lot. A lot of people wait till they have multiple problems before they bring it in for service,
right?
Because they can't live without it.
Right.
Well, it's broken. You're going to have to live without it until it gets fixed.
Sure, sure. And well, and we see that all the time with people that crack the glass on their phones. They say, well, you know I can send it away. There's this great repair place out in the Midwest where you can send things to. But I can't be without my phone. What will I do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you know, you're very dependent upon this, and you didn't really have a backup plan here, but we're going to try and help you out. But there's still an amount of time that it takes to actually perform the repair.
Yeah, and like I say, there's a lot to be said. Because, again, if you have a question or an issue, if something wasn't done quite to your specifications, you can run it back to them and say, hey, you know what? I really needed this done too.
Right.
And it was on there and you didn't do it.
Right. One of the things I also want to talk about, in addition to the Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Small mm-hmm. Business Saturday, or Cyber Week that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about, let's say you didn't go shopping there and you're still looking for some ideas. I have a couple of ideas that I want to make sure I mention today.
Why, is your wife listening?
No, I'm sure my wife's already got plans of exactly what to get. I publish an Amazon wish list where all throughout the year, I think of something and say, ooh, it'd be kind of nice to have one of those. I'll just stick it on the wish list. And then when birthday time or anniversary time or Christmas time comes around and she says, so I'm not sure what to get you, I'd be like, I just point over to the list, say it's all there, all different prices, all different sizes, everything's there, all ready to go.
One of the things we've heard, and I tried checking on some of the different pricing, is that some of the stores actually have higher prices now during, you know, Black Friday, Cyber Week than they did a couple of months ago.
Really?
So there's this sort of perception that Black Friday are all these really great super deals. But a couple of people we know that work inside some of the big box stores have said, well, yeah, this was $100 cheaper 2 months ago. If you'd have thought about it then.
Right.
So we'll jack it up so we can put it on sale again.
Right. So we could also talk about what are the great sites to go to that track the prices of things throughout the year so that you can make sure to buy when it's the cheapest.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we get to that, let's go to the phones and talk to Andy. Andy, go ahead. You're calling from Greece?
Yes, I am. A couple of follow-up items. I was your first caller last week, and we talked about the fact that I couldn't get out to the Internet.
Okay.
Took your suggestions. First thing I did before I did anything else was just, I don't know why I didn't do it in the first place, but, you know, the light bulb didn't come on. As I turned the VAS loose and said, scan the computer.
Okay.
That didn't require me going to another computer and moving things around and whatnot. Found it within, I took about 20 minutes to run the whole scan because I had to do the whole disk. But it found it, and as soon as it quarantined the file, I was back up and running, so then I proceeded to do all the updates and
good.
Bring down the stuff from the Tango and dance the Tango and all that good stuff.
Great.
And it was just that one file.
Super.
And it was a redirect file that got into the browser somehow.
Okay.
So that one was fairly painless and just took a little while to do. But at least we got the answer to that one fairly quickly.
Okay.
Second piece of follow-up. A while back I talked with you folks and with Nick about the idea of Chromebook versus tablet.
Right. Yes, I think I was actually here for that conversation. Go ahead.
Yeah. And he said to let me know how I made out. Well, it looks like the... Mrs. Claus is going to get me a Chromebook for Christmas.
Oh, Mrs. Claus is so nice.
I looked at all of the ins and outs and the sizes and the prices, and the 13-inch Toshiba high-def screen, you couldn't touch it.
That was the one to get, huh?
I read the reviews on it, and they said it's not the fastest, but the video on it is absolutely fantastic. And it was like, and that's what I'm mainly looking at it for is to be able to look at the surf the web and look at video and things like that with it. So,
yep. Okay.
It's kind of like that was kind of pushing that. And then we were looking at the pricing and then it was a little more than I wanted to go. And that's why I'd kind of held off. And then Black Friday and that weekend hit and they knocked $50 off the, 3340. Office Max had the 3330, which didn't have the high-def video, but other than that, had the same processor and everything,
right?
And half the memory, which kind of caught my eye, but they had that out for $200. And so I did a little surfing around, and I kind of watched the pricing, and it was about $80 more to get the double the memory and the high-def, and So
yeah, that's one of the things to keep in mind with the Chromebooks and a lot of the Ultrabook class machines now is you cannot upgrade the memory later.
Yeah.
It's often soldered to the motherboard.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then many times you can't upgrade the storage, the internal storage either.
Right. So it's worth to wait, you know, a couple extra weeks, save up the extra money and
well,
buy it.
She was willing to go for the price she saw it at Office Max for, so I told her I'd pay the difference and get the better box.
Okay.
And looked around, surfed around. Actually wound up being less expensive to go to Best Buy and do an in-store delivery, and then I didn't worry about it coming through the mail and all that stuff.
So is this the Toshiba Chromebook 2?
Yep.
Okay. I was just checking out a review.
Full
of this. It's got 4 out of 5 stars at Laptop Review Magazine.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
I read all the reviews of the people who had it, and I looked at some of the other stuff, and price-wise, it was comparable with the other stuff, and they knocked $50 off of it.
Right.
And so I said, okay, we'll do it, and I had it. It came to the store with Tuesday or Wednesday. I went down and got it, and the only thing now is I have to wait and open it Christmas Day.
That's okay.
You know, I can
that's all right. Twiddle your thumbs for a couple weeks. It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, is on Cyber Monday, the price was back up to the non-sale price. So it's kind of like, okay, we can grab this right.
Right.
Yeah. I did download the Kindle app for my computer, and I splurged the extra 99 cents, and I got Nick's book about, I bought a Chromebook, now what?
Okay, have you checked it out?
I did. I went down through reading it, and this is just kind of because I've never done this before. I'm looking at it, and it's just like, at the bottom, you'll look at the first screen, it says 1 of 342 or something like that. And as you hit the down arrow, which is supposed to move you to the next screen, the numbers jump like to 47 and 72. And I'm thinking this isn't like a book where you flip the pages in sequential order or something.
Yeah, the thing about ebooks, and I don't know if Nick's falls into this category, is because you can adjust the font size on the display. It's measuring where you are in the book in screenfuls. I don't think it's really measuring pages the way you and I think about a paper book.
Okay.
So I think that's probably what's
totally
going on.
Different.
Okay. Well, I figured it was something silly like that, but I figured I'd ask.
In Apple's iBook program, it's based on the
straightforward and easy to understand orientation towards Chromebook, which has answered a lot of questions that I had. And
good. Well, Nick will be very happy to hear about that.
Well worth the 99-cent investment.
Good.
Now we actually get to a question.
Okay.
A while back, I picked up I was cruising through either Office Max or Staples, one of those two, and I happened to see this disc, a DVD, and it was like 700,000 games plus, and it just had a lot of stuff I didn't want, but it had stuff I did want.
Okay.
And not that I spend a lot of time playing games, but it's nice to have once in a while when you want to do a Euchre game or whatever. And so I put the disc in the computer, and immediately Avast and Zone Alarm went nuts. They said there's all kinds of malware on this thing, and don't load it, and all, you know, six different viruses and all this other nonsense.
Okay.
Well, I went to the board, and I'm looking, and you know, asked some questions, and they said no, our software doesn't have bugs in it, and so forth and so on.
It was probably
would you expect them to say otherwise. Yeah.
it was probably a malware warning.
Yeah.
For advertising programs,
probably
most of the time when you get these free discs or discs that, you know, 700,000 games for $20, you know, that's ridiculously low price. Those games or the program installer itself often comes with adware from companies like Conduit or Genio or Buka. There's a bunch of these ad programs, and that's how the game pays for itself, by putting ads on.
Right.
So your anti-malware program finds all that adware, because most of it is obtrusive and annoying, at minimum, and can track you and show you even more ads.
So and it wants to also put on additional things, say like toolbars. They're notorious for putting on toolbars. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I had a customer, if he had one, he had at least 15 toolbars. Yeah. And it's from, like Steve was saying, all these different companies, they come on there and you're going ahead and install it, and you just go, you get click happy and you go next, 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 next. Well, one of the things that you clicked to was saying, add it as my toolbar on my browser.
I always unclick those.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's technically not a virus.
I take the time and read it so I don't get nailed with that stuff.
And it's not like it's illegal.
And it's not illegal, so the companies, and it's sort of that rough point where you're getting something for a low price they have to make up their money elsewhere.
Right.
So advertising is the way it's done.
Yep.
So, okay, so it's the disc itself came from like Aviva Media and SelectSoft Games.
All right, tell you what, you're going to have to hold on.
Okay.
Right now, we got to take a short break. We will come back to Andy in a few moments. But for right now, we encourage you folks to pick up the phones. Give us a call. The number is 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-415. And we'll be right back in a moment.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we had Andy on the phone here. Andy, yeah, like we were talking here briefly, go ahead and run that CD. And, you know, you should be okay. Like I say, just be cautious in what you do and let us know how you do, okay?
Okay.
All right, Andy, we got to move on to another caller.
Okay, well, I do thank you for your time, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye-bye. One of the problems we run into is some of those games won't run without the adware.
Right.
And so that's a decision you have to make. If you really want to play that game, you have to have the adware. Or what's more likely is you'll find a different similar game that doesn't have the adware in it.
Sure.
That's one of the things I like on the Mac side is with the Mac App Store, you can find all sorts of apps that have been vetted and pretty well checked for issues. The big problem we run into now is the freemium model, where the game itself is free, but you have to buy stuff in the game to complete it.
Yep.
You know, I don't mind if you can buy stuff to advance faster, but I want to be able to complete the game without paying any money.
That's right.
All right,
South Park had a good episode on that, too.
Let's get back to the phones. We got Mark on the phone. Go ahead, Mark, from Greece.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, sir.
I just wanted to give a little... little advice to people out there. If they're using Avast and they've updated to the most current version, there's a great new feature in there, and this is in the free version. There's a network scanner that wasn't there before, and it scans your network and it scans your router.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
So it'll come up and tell you if you have an affected router. It'll come up. It also tells you if there's not an issue, if you're configured correctly, and I thought it was a great feature.
That's interesting. Oh, cool. I'm going to read more about that.
Yeah. We'll have to look
because
into that.
We are seeing more and more routers getting infected with malware. And back there was a big issue with backdoors in some Cisco brand routers.
Mm-hmm.
If a bad guy gets in your router, he can do anything he wants.
Yeah.
He's ahead of you in the internet pipe.
Oops.
Yeah.
Not good. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
And that's one other thing we have to watch out for right now, too, is all these scams. And we talked about it lightly last week.
The threat model has changed. Viruses themselves are on the downturn and aren't as big an issue anymore.
Viruses have been for the past few years because...
There's no money in it.
Exactly. They derive no benefit out of it. But if they can sit there and create a little program that either steals email addresses or information, they can make money off of that. Or if they can put something on there and then you have to call them, because they're terrorizing you, saying, oh, my machine is infected and you said to call you because it's the only way to get it off. And they can do it safely. They charge you $79.95.
Right.
They take your money and then they're gone. But
Or worse now, they'll want remote control to your computer so they can fix, in air quotes, the problem. and then they stay logged in and watch you type other passwords to other services.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's bad news all the way around.
And again, we mentioned last week was the UPS or United Postal Service. Yeah. You know, FedEx, all the carriers.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, if nobody's called you and let you know or you're not expecting anything... And I guess my rule of thumb still holds true. If you have to stop and think about an email that you got, even for a second, wait a minute. No, delete it.
And
if it's that important, they'll call you or they'll send another one.
And because of the online shopping prevalence now and shopping season, you probably are getting packages from all the different carriers. And so you might not stop to think, I did order something.
Well,
I better check this link.
On. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you got to be very cautious, especially if you didn't order from this store and you ordered from some other store and you're getting an email from the other store. No, 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 no.
Right.
Oh, I had another person talk to this week. Was saying how, yeah, he got a call from Microsoft. Yeah. And they told him he had to do this and this and that. I go, whoa, wait a minute. Stop right there.
Yeah. You had me at the first sentence.
Don't even go. That one word. Yeah. Microsoft doesn't call.
Call same, from Microsoft. That's the key phrase
same
there.
Thing from Apple. Yeah. And we hear people get the same calls from Apple.
They're very
tricky at the other end. We're from Microsoft technical support, or we're a Microsoft certified technical support provider.
Sure.
So
and they talk real fast.
They talk real fast, and so people assume it's Microsoft or Apple instead of just some random tech guy. In fact, if you it's worse on Bing. But if you Google or Bing or on Yahoo, you search for
people Bing.
Yeah, that's not quite a verb yet. But if you search for Microsoft tech support. The actual Microsoft company is like the fourth or fifth link down.
Nice.
All of them at the top are ads for other companies offering tech support. And it also always says Microsoft tech support, not Microsoft company.
Because they are Microsoft tech support certified.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they've got the credentials and you're going to pay, is what a bottom line means.
Right.
And so some of the URLs are tricky. I just did it on Google. The second one says Microsoft-support.fixusnow.us.
Yeah.
But if you look, Microsoft, that's Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. The same thing, you search for Apple support. You'll find a bunch of ads. You'll find a bunch of third-party companies.
People
go to Microsoft.com. Go to Apple.com.
Yeah.
No. Oh, Steve, here's something you should look up. Check out what new top-level domains came out recently.
Oh, yeah.
There's been some good ones, including .ninja. For everybody who needs a domain name that ends in .ninja instead of .com.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was the gift ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That things that if you're not quite sure what to get somebody, or if you have somebody who's technical but you're not quite sure what to get them and you want to get them that killer gift or something that's really nice and strategic, mm-hmm. here's my first recommendation. If they are a Time Warner subscriber and they rent their current cable modem currently, buy them a cable modem. Not expensive. Less than $100.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it at Amazon if you want. It's available with Prime if you're a Prime subscriber. And it's about $90. And what they do is that you get this home. You call up Time Warner. You said, hi, I want to stop renting my cable modem at $6 a month. And instead, I want to put this one in. And they say, okay. And you read them some numbers from the back of it. You plug it in.
Which started at $4 a month.
Oh, yeah.
They keep raising it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm waiting to see where it's going to go next.
Mm-hmm.
But after about a year, you're of not paying that fee. Especially if you get it as a gift, you're ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great thing to do. The one that I like is called the Motorola Surfboard 6141. That 6141 is a type of cable modem that works with all of the faster Roadrunner speeds. It's called a DOCSIS 3 standard. And that's the one to get if you really want to get out from under those rental fees from Time Warner, and a lot of people do. This is the way to do it. And your computer and your router and everything else that you use in your home can't tell the difference. The only difference you see is that your cable bill is a little bit lower every month.
Plus you have the capabilities to usually through most of those modems get updates to update the flash, flash the BIOS to keep the security on that router. Because that's protecting you. That's the wall between you and the internet. And if you don't have a good firewall, which, Time Warner, if you buy the box, until you get rid of it, they're not going to come over and say, oh, hey, tell you what,
right.
Joe.
If you don't have a third-party router in line.
Your box is, 3 years old, and, the software should really be up to, we're going to change that. No, they're not going to do that. Whereas if you have, say, one of the Cisco routers or all that, you can go to their website and flash, do a flash on the BIOS and update it or get updates for it.
That's true.
One of the only downsides of buying your old cable router is that if you're having a problem with your internet service and call up Time Warner, they'll be quick to blame the router. It's your router, so it's your problem. They may not fix it.
Well, yeah, I haven't had that issue.
Many issues go wrong with the router.
Yeah.
Everything I've ever had related to Time Warner as an issue has been squirrels chewing the lines outside my house. It's never been anything inside my house that's been the problem.
Tell you what, let's go back to the phones. We've got Brian from Pavilion. Go ahead, Brian.
How you doing, guys?
Hello.
That's great. Actually, I called this to ask about a suspicious pop-up I'm getting about my router.
Okay.
I've never gotten... a request to update the firmware on it, and I haven't done it, of course, because it's very suspicious. But I was wondering, your router doesn't understand that it's out of date or anything like that, correct?
Some routers will phone home.
And did you install software from your router to manage your router?
Not necessarily, no. I pretty much plugged it in, changed the password on it, and just never looked back.
Most routers have a web server built in, and, mm-hmm. and you go to 192.168.1.1 and set up your router. Some of the routers have a program you run to make it simpler for novice users to set up the router. What do you want your password to be? You know, it asks you questions and then sets it itself. So something like that will pull for updates from your router manufacturer.
Right. Because what they're doing is they're doing it off that CD, which very few mm-hmm. folks use.
Yeah.
Because they just, like Steve said, they plug it in, set it up. Yep. Most experienced folks that have done routers before can handle it. They go in, set up a password for the firewall.
Yep.
Boom, they're done.
Set up router, a Wi-Fi password.
Yeah. And then router updates are important, though.
Yes.
And so that's why we're seeing more companies putting in this software. If you don't trust the pop-up, go to the website of your router manufacturer yourself
mm-hmm.
and see if there's an update available.
Right.
Well, that's what I had done, and I didn't see anything really alluding to it. There is a firmware update on it, and I was actually going to get around to it even today. And I heard you guys talking about it, but I, you know, used computers for quite some years, and I've never ever seen a router ask me to do anything with it other than, you know.
Well, because they're getting smarter. They're getting smarter because
there's like a lot more competition.
Like we were saying before, back in the day, viruses were the biggest thing. Okay,
sure.
And they'd sneak in, they get past the firewall, no biggie. The thing of it is now with these hackers out there, they're trying to take over even your router. Take control of that. Like Steve said, they're going to be right there at the front door. You're not even getting out the door or in the door
mm-hmm.
because they have control.
All right. Actually, speaking of hacks, too, I was amazed by that interface between Sony and North Korea, allegedly, or South Korea. And that was an amazing thing. Way they went after Sony like that. I mean, the level at which they've got to be secure to be that easily cracked, I was just amazed by that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was just wondering, you know, like most of these companies, I was wondering if, like, they exploited some sort of, you know, backdoor or secret backdoor, you know, on their, I'm not even sure if they would even be using any sort of form of Windows or any sort of generic product that you could buy. I'm sure they have their proprietary stuff.
Well, a lot of times it doesn't even need to be a backdoor. It's a bug in some software they're running.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a hole that can be exploited to allow someone access.
I know. Just as your resident paranoid, though, do you yep. think that's some of that's built in by the writers and the manufacturers? And we
Wait a minute.
Probably not.
A lot of folks think a lot of this stuff is intentionally built in.
I do.
Speaking as a programmer, I was a former programmer.
It's hard enough getting it to work right.
Yeah, just writing the code and getting it to work correctly is challenge enough.
I got you. I got to quit listening to the paranoid radio shows on the net and stuff.
Yeah, really.
That
because,
might be good.
Like I say, I was a programmer for many years. And my intent was not to sit there and, build this other stuff in case I wanted to get in and do some malicious stuff or anything else. I was having enough time just trying to get, say, a particular procedure or a routine to function correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to run it through a battery of tests. My code was my code. You didn't sit there and add other stuff into it.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't think there's any programmer out there that purposely builds other stuff in there to do that.
Well, when I was younger and I had a lot of time, I did write quite a bit in QBasic, but of course I've long since abandoned that. Just, you know, life presses you for time and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
But I was wondering, maybe it was even more on a more base level, like actually built into the chipsets or, something.
There was?
I mean, fact of the matter is, and this is just my opinion, and, you know, take it for what it's worth, but most of these large companies don't really, really get large, you know, your Microsofts and even your Kodaks, your Xeroxes and stuff, until they start playing ball with the government or governments. You know, and that's how I feel about it, and I could be wrong. But really, you don't get giant until you really start working with these guys.
At least that's been my experience. That's always true.
Yeah.
And, like even George Eastman didn't make a dime selling cardboard cameras and film. He made his money working on Corona projects and things like that. That's what Bill Kodak.
You usually have to get involved in government to work through the regulators and export restrictions, and then you have to follow the import laws in other countries. So to grow really big, you do have to work with foreign governments to get your products allowed in their country. But sure. there was a big controversy, two, three years ago about most American goods are made in China, so we have to be careful about them putting back doors and secret hacks inside during the factory. Well, then it came out that the American NSA is spying on everybody. So
yeah.
Other countries are now saying don't buy American goods because we know they are spying on us.
Right.
So the threat of possibly China spying on us has been outweighed by the threat that the U.S. is spying on everybody else.
Right. It's just a lot to think about. But, I appreciate your time, guys, and appreciate your show. I've been a member for quite some time, and I plan on re-upping in spring when my membership's up. So
super.
But thank you for your work.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks for calling.
Bye. All right, tell you what. That music tells me right now I got to take a little break. But you know what? We encourage you folks, if you have your computer questions, and again, we'd like to know what great deals you might have found or did on Black Friday and the Cyber Week. Give us a call at 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, and we will return in just a few minutes with more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And again, we encourage you folks to pick up the phones. Give us a call, 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And one thing that I haven't mentioned in quite a while is you can also text us. And that number is 585-209-9010. You can leave a message, and if you got a particular question, if you're out shopping, of course, I knew a couple guys said they loved going shopping on Saturdays from 12 to 2 right now because they can let the wives go into the store.
Yeah, then they sit on the old guy bench.
Yeah, and just sit there with their earbuds in and use our app, the Jazz 90.1 app, and listen to Soundbites.
Now, I hear from Rob that there's a new version of the app coming, right?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They should make those seating areas for guys out of something more comfortable than just a bench. They should make them, with like Lazy Boy recliners.
Yeah.
So what is it? Greasetown Mall has those massage chairs.
That sounds good.
Yeah, you can just sit back in one of those, and I don't know how much it costs, but you can sit there and put it in a few quarters and wake me up in a couple hours.
That's right. And hopefully there's a cup holder or something there so you can put your beverage.
I wouldn't. I haven't taken a look, but I'll bet you there is. There has to be.
If you've seen it, give us a call and let us know.
Yeah, really. There's, what end is it? I think it's over by the Noble Bookstore. Or Barnes & Noble Bookstore. I think it's like two or four of them.
Right.
Because I saw this one kid. And it also wraps around your legs.
Oh.
So you're
trapped.
You sit in there and it just massages your from head to toe. From the neck down and that, and it's like, ooh, yeah, that's all right. Good.
Well, I've got another item.
All right, another item.
All right, if you are looking for something to buy for someone for the holidays or for any reason, here's something that you could buy at any time of year that is a good idea. Get somebody a subscription to online backup software, because in this modern day, we have digital cameras. We don't have film cameras. We don't have negatives anymore. And if you are married and you've got kids and you've got pictures of those kids on your computer, you want to stay married, make sure that those pictures aren't going anywhere. So get a remote backup software and have it backed up in the cloud so that if something happens to your computer, whether that's something that you did or something that happens to your computer from some other reason, you're still protected. And if you go to replace that computer later on... This is not something that's very expensive. You might spend $100 or so, and it will last you all year long. A lot of different providers are running specials at this time of year, so find a couple that you like and compare them, see how they work. Most of them, you just set them up, you install the software.
And tell it to do it at night while you're sleeping or whatever. You just turn the monitor off on the computer, let it do its thing, and it doesn't interrupt your life whatsoever. And it's happening automatically, as Nick would say.
Automagically, yes.
And it just sits there and does it.
Right, and most of them will send you an email every week letting you know, hey, everything's okay. They'll give you a little thumbs up.
But the other thing, though...
Well, and the counter to that is when you do lose a file
right.
or your hard drive crashes, you can expect to spend thousands of dollars on commercial data recovery services
and when setting
to
those,
maybe get them back.
And when you're setting those up, folks, one word to the wise, so I had somebody backing up their entire C drive. Not necessary.
Well, yeah. Start with your folder.
All you need is your folders. Any information, photos, docs, songs, anything that you really paid for and want to keep.
On the Mac, it's your home folder. On Windows, it's in the documents and settings.
It's under users now.
They renamed it under users. Yeah.
But it's just those. I mean, the programs.
You can always reinstall the OS.
The programs, 90% of the time, you're going to have to anyways.
Right.
So you can go ahead and, you know, back them up. But when it comes to putting it back and restoring it, you know, say you had a virus and you're backing it up and that virus is on there and it got into the backup or it was corrupted file.
You have a backup of your virus.
Exactly. So you put it back and you're back to square one or some malware. Maybe not even a virus, malware. And it backs up and you put it back down and all of a sudden your machine is acting goofy again. You're back to square one. So the only thing you really need is the important information. Like we said, documents. You could even back up your emails.
Which on both Mac and Windows are in an invisible folder.
Right.
So you have to back up your high-level user folder to get all of those invisible folders underneath.
Mm-hmm. But, you know...
So one of the things to do, like you do with your car, if it's making an odd noise or not smell... or is taking longer to do something than it used to do before. Often, when a hard drive is beginning to fail, you can hear a clicking noise as the head tries
or
to
you'll start seeing,
reread.
It'll create a folder called folder.1001, and it's usually it's finding bad sectors and it's marking it.
And so we've gotten a lot of customers who brought their machines in and said, it was making a weird noise for a couple of months, now it won't boot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you invent a time machine, go back a couple of months and bring it in then, we can save your data.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if somebody said, I was having problems, so I invented a time machine?
Yeah.
This is my computer before it happened.
It never seems to work that way,
does it?
No, it's a slow day.
Well, then it becomes a quantum paradox and the universe ends.
We try not to think about that. It's just depressing.
But yeah, your data is your life, your digital photos. So you may have uploaded photos to Facebook or Flickr or something like that.
Or Amazon.
Those are usually low resolution for looking at on a computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
They're not high res. You can't zoom in very far. You can't print them very well.
If you want to crop or blow it up in that, if you try blowing up some of them too big, you know, because you saved it at the lower resolution, they get grainy as all get out.
Yep. Right.
So, you know, the higher resolution that you can save them, the more you can do with them down the road.
So you want to have a second copy in case you accidentally delete something.
It happens.
And trust me.
And you may not notice you deleted it for a few weeks.
That's right.
Until you try to go look for it again. Most of the backup programs will keep what's called a historical archive. So it keeps a snapshot of the way your drive looked, your data looked, you know, yesterday, day before, last week, you know, last month. So that you can go back in time and see what that file is missing now.
And the other thing is, all right, so say you're a little paranoid, you know, putting stuff up on, you know, out there in the cloud. You know, there's also another thing that you can get, and they're very inexpensive, is portable hard drives.
That's true. That was going to be my third item.
You can back those.
You beat me to it.
You can back it up there so you have that warm, fuzzy feeling. Well, just in case the cloud ever crashes,
right.
I've got this hard drive, and you can get terabyte hard drives now.
For what, 60, 70 bucks?
Yeah, I was going to say 60, 70 bucks. They come with a routine, usually, that you can go ahead and do, just like the cloud, schedule backups. It won't send you an email, but it'll at least let you know once it's done. It can leave a message on your screen. So if you have it, do it at night. Like I said, again, you turn the monitor off, let it do its thing. And then when you turn it on in the morning, it'll sit there and say, oh, yeah, backed up successful.
Right.
And most of the
unplug it and put it away.
Most of the big commercial backup services will encrypt your data before it goes to the internet.
That's right. It'll encrypt your data before it ever leaves your computer. And some of the big ones, I didn't really want to mention specific names, but one of the ones that I deal with is called CrashPlan. And they will allow you to back up to multiple destinations. So if you want to have a local copy in your house, no problem. Plug in that external drive, and CrashPlan will take care of moving that data to the external drive. And optionally, if you want to, you can subscribe to their cloud service and push a second copy to the cloud service. That way you're covered in case something happens to your computer and your backup drive. Say that you are, God forbid, burgled.
Yeah.
Then the thieves haven't taken your computer and your backup with them.
And the other thing, which, again, another good idea for the house and thinking of other products to buy, which you can get into pretty safe, and it's a company right here in Rochester, is a safe. You can get into safes right now where they're, in case you have a fire in the house.
Sure.
Now, you have to be careful, because a fire safe will protect papers. You need a data-ready fire safe to protect
your
hard drives.
And there's plenty of them out there that you could get to store both your hard drive, any CDs, if you've gotten, say, family members have passed on, some old photos on some CDs and that for you, that you could protect.
Yeah.
Yep. They're not going to be open to the elements, the heat and the cold and everything else. You put it in the safe. Again, it's protected.
They even have models that have a USB port on them. There's a hard drive already in the safe.
What?
And you plug a USB cable into your computer, and
that's
it backs it up already in there.
So how do you tell? I'm gonna play the role of the consumer. Steve, how do I tell when I go to the store what kind of safe I'm looking at? Whether it's just good for important files and papers, or whether it's really something that I can trust with my computer data?
It should say on it if it's a fire safe or a data ready fire safe.
Okay.
So generally, papers Fahrenheit 451. Uh-huh. But your hard drive and CDs will melt at a much lower temperature than that.
Okay.
And in fact, putting the CDs and the visor in your car on a hot summer day, all those CDs will melt and warp, and they won't work anymore. So it has to be rated for basically a much lower temperature to keep the data intact.
And if you put one of these safes in your basement, should you stick it on the floor or should you put it up on a shelf?
Generally speaking, another rating on safes is their water resistance and how long they'll stay submerged.
Float.
Well, they don't float, but how long they can stay submerged before they leak. And so that can be in case of flood or even putting out a fire, all the water that goes into putting out
a
fire.
Somewhere.
So it's a good idea to put it up on a higher shelf just so it doesn't end up sitting in the water too long.
No, what I say about floating, a gentleman came into the store, got a safe, and he also got the wood, and he was building
a
pallet.
Boat?
No, a pallet.
Okay.
In hopes that it was bigger than the actual safe, so it would float.
Wow.
Because he does have water issues from time to time.
Yikes.
But, like they said, the basement is the safest place to keep it.
Uh-huh.
So, he was going to put it on this little homemade pallet.
Wow.
So the thing would float. I know.
So if you've got some other ideas of things that that make sense to get for your technical friends or for your not technical friends, give us a call and let us know what you think. It's a great gift.
Really. Pick up the phones. Give us a call at 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And again, we haven't done it in a long time, but you can text me if you text at 585-209-9010. If you got a particular question, we'll type it in there and I'll try to get it up and get it on the air as soon as we can.
Yeah, just don't fax us.
Yeah.
and sort of speaking of safes, there was an interesting legal case that was upheld recently that a biometric fingerprint is not protected by law. So police can require you to touch your iPhone fingerprint sensor or your Android fingerprint sensor to unlock your phone. But a memorized passcode is protected by Fifth Amendment. So
something is protected, something you are is not.
Right. So if you have a memorized passcode, you cannot be compelled to produce that. If you have a physical key, and that key can be your fingerprint, then you can be compelled to produce that.
That's like give me the key to open up the door.
Right. So the physical key they can request, but a mental passcode lock is Fifth Amendment
protected. Well, the government's definitely killing that technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was it's been case law for a while, and there was just a recent case dealing with a cell phone that someone had pictures on their phone the police wanted, and he said, no, it's protected. You know, it's my phone, Fifth Amendment.
Right.
And the courts decided, no, it's not your physical self, and the key is not knowledge, it's a physical thing, so you have to turn it over.
Hmm. But the description of your fingerprint is knowledge that's compared inside the phone in order to unlock the phone.
So it's knowledge the phone has.
I'm not a lawyer.
Well, yeah, it's knowledge the phone has. It's not knowledge you have.
Hmm.
So there's no Fifth Amendment protection against the phone incriminating itself.
All right. So phone makers, if you're listening, what I need then is the ability to set a fail safe.
Well,
so if I scan my pinky, that means erase everything that's on this phone.
And or you do it wrong too many times, and most phones will fall back to your passcode.
Well, they do have that. There is software.
Yeah. Yeah, if most phones,
if somebody steals your phone too many times,
it will erase it, yep.
Well, there's also software that you can install to, in case somebody does take your phone, you know, you can look it up and go on the web, put in your phone number.
Right.
I forget the name of the software.
Well, it's built into Apple's iCloud service in the Find My iPhone.
And you can say erase all your contacts and everything
else.
Then
you get charged with destroying evidence. So
talk to your lawyer.
Yeah, we're not lawyers. We don't play one on the radio. But it was a disconcerting case.
See what they recommend.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So and so with the phones that have a passcode lock on it or the fingerprint lock, a lot of people are now shifting to a more complex passcode lock because a 4-digit PIN code is ridiculously
crackable pretty
easy
fast,
to break.
Yeah.
Yeah. So change that if you want. Change it to the full alphanumeric keyboard, but you can just use numbers. Just have more numbers.
Ah, so that the search space is much
right.
larger. Instead of being 0 through 9, it's 36 characters.
Yep.
Yeah. Get a little creative or something like that.
Right.
But, like I say, it'd be interesting to hear. You know, if you folks have opinions, please give us a call at 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or again, I've been slacking off on this. You can also text us at 585-209-9010. But you know what? As Nick would say, you've already wasted one full hour listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. But you know what? There's more. So, you know, just sit back, wait a few more minutes, and after these great words of wisdom, you can enjoy another full hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. And that happens to be, as Francis would tell us, Soundbite with a Y. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And good afternoon, Rochester. You are listening to Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And don't worry, folks. I had one person call. And yes, Nick will be back next week again. He's...
seen Nick?
I took 3 weeks off, and now Nick is taking 2 weeks off, and so it's your turn next.
Nick's coming back, right?
We're just busy. We're not...
Life gets in the way, you know? I mean, it just... Stuff happens, and every so often, you know...
We're not good enough?
I'll pass.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
And hopefully when Nick gets back, he will be able to put up a new poll. We've had the same poll for a while.
Must be a good poll.
Yeah.
You know that's the one thing. No, that's the one thing. And I have to laugh because he says, you know, now I'm retired, I should have more time.
Oh boy.
He's retired. He's busier than he was when he was working.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, he's just Yeah, that's the way life goes, folks. All right, let's tell you what. Let's go back to the phone. Is Delania? Hello? Uh-oh, I think I lost her.
All right, Delana, please call back.
Are you still there? Nope, I lost her. Delana, if you can, please call right back. Let me try this again. So, go ahead. You gentlemen, keep talking.
All right, so
many buttons to push.
Here's another item. If you're not sure what to get somebody for the holidays, and please call in and let us know if you've got a great idea. Here's something you can get them, Steve. You ready? You can get somebody their own domain name so that they have an email address that is custom just to them. So you don't have a AOL address or you don't have a Gmail address. That's how they say it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what. Let's go to Joanne. Go ahead, Joanne.
Uh-huh. Hi. I caught into the your conversation about backups and folders, and I've run into the same problems. I put on an external drive, and then it told it to back it up, and it apparently backed up the whole C drive, so now it's all filled up. And so can you go over?
Well, there's sort of two halves of backup. You need the physical drive to back up onto,
okay,
and then you need a program to do it with.
Okay.
Windows has a backup program that's built in that's pretty simple, but simple in not a good way.
Primitive.
Oh. Primitive. Yeah, that's a better word. What's the one that you like, Dave? Cobian.
Yes, Cobian.
Cobian is a good backup program. Cobian, is it? It's
just yeah.
Yeah, Google it. You'll find it. Kronos has a good one.
Cobian is Cobian.
Yep. There are several inexpensive ones or several free ones. Sometimes the backup drive, if drives are sold specifically as backup drives, will come with backup software built in.
Okay.
And in that software, one of the things you do is tell it what you want to back up. And so the default is probably everything. And you can go into the software and tell it to back up just your user folder, not everything.
Okay.
And then the other setting backup programs will often have is something called an incremental backup. So the first time you back up, it backs up all your folders. And then the second time, it just backs up your changes. So it backs up the changes, and so that doesn't take up as much room.
Yeah, because I was getting multiple copies of make a new one each time.
And generally that's good because you don't know when a file got lost or corrupted. So being able to go back in time and seeing the files yesterday, seeing what it was last week, last month, can often help when you're looking for a file that you've lost. So you don't know when it got lost.
Yep.
But then, as you pointed out, that will fill up your hard drive.
Yep.
So most of the backup programs will then start deleting the oldest backup in order to put more room on it.
Okay.
What we like to recommend is get another backup drive at that point. So you have a historical archive.
All right.
So if you start with a 1 or 2 terabyte drive, start with a nice big drive that will last a while, then that gives you that long historical archive. So if you basically say get double the size of your main hard drive.
Uh huh.
So if your main hard drive is 500 gig, get a terabyte. If your main hard drive is a terabyte, you know, get a 2 terabyte. So you have room to grow and save those older historical backups.
Okay. So the one I've got now, and I don't even know what it is. It's a box that sits down here, and I try to go in it and look at the files and see what's in there. It's all digital. I can't find anything in it.
Some backup programs use a proprietary format mm-hmm. that you can't read, and so only that backup program can read it. So the companion of that is the restore option in the backup program.
Right.
Some backup programs will make human readable backup files.
Okay.
And so that again depends on the program you're using. The advantages of the proprietary format is they can compress the data as it's backing it up, so it takes up less space on the hard drive.
Okay.
But then you can't read it; only the program can.
Okay. Maybe that's what I need then.
Yeah. Now, one of the advantages we have in the Apple community is that Apple includes a really good backup program called Time Machine in the computer. And there are several really good free backup programs.
That's true.
Super Duper and Carbon Copy Cloner. Well, yep. Carbon Copy Cloner is not free anymore, but it's inexpensive.
That's right.
Super Duper is also really good. And it lets you have an exact copy of your hard drive. So one of the sort of thoughts in backup is you can have a fast backup, which gives you a longer restore,
uh-huh.
or you can have a long backup, which is a faster restore. And so for businesses, they will typically clone their entire hard drive So if something goes wrong, they have that exact clone of their hard drive as a backup and can be up and running again instantly. But for home users, you know, just a regular incremental backup is fine.
Incremental backup.
Yep.
Is any of this on your website?
We can find a link on backup procedures. Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yep, we can put it up there for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Joy. Yep.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, another thing that I was stumbled upon, I don't know whether you guys have seen it, talk about geek toys and for Christmas, and it's called C-I-C-R-E-T.
Okay.
It's a bracelet.
I'm looking this up now.
Take a look. It's actually kind of cool.
C-I-C-R-E-T. Is it pronounced secret?
That's why I didn't want to try. Yeah, it's a bracelet that you wear.
It looks like it's a hologram. That looks fake.
And your hologram, and if it is true, they say there's apps in that, but you wear it on your wrist, and it's a hologram, and it shows like your phone and all that, and tablet.
Oh, it's a concept. It's like a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So it's a concept. You donate money, they'll make one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just another...
interesting idea, though.
Isn't it?
There are an awful lot of companies that are doing similar things.
It's getting to, and this is going back to my day, which you guys wouldn't remember anyways, unless you're into cartoons and our old-time stories is the Dick Tracy with the wristwatch.
Sure.
And being able to talk to his wrist, and it was a phone. And a lot of folks said, oh, it'll never get that small. You're crazy.
Was it, and again, this is before my time, but was it like a walkie-talkie or was it like a cell phone?
No, it was like a phone. They'd call him up, Dick Tracy, and it was his wristwatch, and it was a watch and a phone.
Hmm. Back when radios took up like the size of a refrigerator in your house.
Okay. And hello, computers and technology that small didn't exist.
Right.
It wasn't even a thought.
Science fiction.
Yeah, I mean.
At that point.
Back then, you know, computers were...
the size of your bedroom, or bigger.
And bigger, yes. You know, and all tubes and all that other stuff.
Sure.
So, but no, I happened to stumble upon that, and it's kind of intriguing that we could go that way with a hologram.
Well, it's been a steady march of miniaturization for the last several decades, and we're to the point now where you can have a fully functioning computer with sensors that literally lives on your wrist. And we see more and more manufacturers that are going this direction. Apple's got their iWatch that's due to come out in the spring. Microsoft's got their Band watch, which looks really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And not terribly expensive. I think it's only a couple $100.
Yeah, the fitness watches.
Fitness watches and from Garmin and from other places that'll track heart rate and other things. Even the Fitbit style sensors and trackers that will help you keep track of how active you're being. It's interesting to see the level of computational power and also battery power and battery life that we're able to get these days.
Well, I read this a few years ago, and they've been out for a number of years. You know, you get these gift cards, and you open them up, and they play all kinds of tunes and music, and you can record your own voice and everything else. And they go, do you realize for what you're paying, say you're paying $6-$7 for that card, the technology in that card is more powerful, just the stuff that went into making it, than 25 years ago. I'll put another five on. 25 years ago with the computers.
Yeah, it's true.
More powerful than 25 years ago, your big computer that you had on your desktop and all this other stuff, more power in that card than was in those little, the old-fashioned computers that came with, you know, 24K?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, here's another example. When I was a kid, the big game system to have was the Atari, and later on, the Nintendo Entertainment System was the system to have. If your buddies had one of those, that was the coolest thing you'd ever seen. And these days, you can get literally a single joystick that has all of the games pre-programmed into it, and this has been around a while, that you can just plug into your TV and start playing immediately. So all of the manufacturing, all of the memory, all of the games fit into a single device now that you can buy for $10 or so. And instead of paying several $100 back in 1980s, and it's just really interesting to see just from an entertainment perspective, what you're able to do with the march of technology over the past couple of decades.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, I say we keep going smaller and smaller. You know, like I say, tablets have taken off unbelievable.
Sure.
We were talking about this just last week. You don't see them really pushing any big systems on the Mac side or the PC side. You know, it's all the smaller laptops, the Chromebooks, and mainly the tablets. A lot of your companies are getting into the tablets. There's one advertisement on TV right now. The woman comes into the living room, and the father and son have this big fort going on. And she goes, because she knows there's no way she can sit and relax and watch on the couch the TV because the father and son are in their plane. And they got it blocked. So she grabs her tablet, goes off to another room, and she can watch the show that she wants on her tablet.
That's right. Yeah, it seems that the device itself is not the compelling device. We used to think of just having a computer on your desk as being a really big deal. But now it's, what is the device connected to? What can I reach outside of my home, outside of my workplace, to make my life either more interesting or to make me smarter or to help me leverage the knowledge that other people have presented to the world?
And also, like say with a Chromebook, you take that, and you get like an HDMI cable, you hook it up to your TV, and you can stream from the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Movies and TV shows right from that Chromebook right over to your large screen TV. So you're not watching it down on, say, a 17-inch screen. You're actually watching it on, say, a 50 or 55-inch high-def screen.
That's right.
And the Chromecast lets you do that wirelessly with Chrome OS or Chromebooks.
Yeah, yeah.
Apple has their Apple TV for Apple devices. You wirelessly send your video content to
those are neat devices that would also make a good gift. And one of the reasons why I like those is because there isn't a lot of configuration involved. So it's a good gift because you can get it out of the box. Yep. You can get it plugged in, and there really isn't much to set up.
Hardest thing on the Apple TV is having people remember their Apple password to log into their account with.
Yeah, for their Apple ID.
Well, first their Wi-Fi password, and then their Apple ID password.
Yeah. Right. But those are great devices.
Actually, that's a good gift for someone. Give them a little password notebook to write their passwords down in.
That's right. And that's super cheap.
There are apps you can get on all the devices to save passwords.
Kids, if you want to get something for your parents, go to the local drugstore and buy a small notebook. Make it a nice one and write on the first page, Mom, Dad, this is for you to write your passwords in. And then you can keep it in a desk drawer and keep them safe. And that way you'll
put it in the safe.
Place. Yep. Sure,
put it in the safe.
Yeah.
That's right. You can combo the gifts.
There you go. You know, a gift that, you know, keeps remembering.
That's right.
You know, and keeps things protected all the way around. So, you know, different ideas floating in slowly but surely. All right, we do have a caller on the line, but tell you what, we're going to take a short break. And we will be back in just a few minutes. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. And we still got another 40 minutes, so we encourage you to pick up the phones, give us a call at 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-415. And we will be back in just a few more minutes to take your questions right here on Soundbites.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm still Dennis Worcester.
Hey, that works. And we have Fred on the line. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I've had some problems for several weeks with my PC. I'm running Windows 7. And one of the symptoms was that the Shockwave Flash player didn't seem to be working. I kept getting messages on various websites that it had crashed. This was on both Firefox and Chrome. And I've had some other issues, too. What I'm thinking, I'm at the point now where I've got to do some kind of a rebuild, at least of the registry. And what I'm thinking is I don't want to do a complete reinstall of Windows because then I have to reinstall my applications all over again. Can I instead do a repair-type installation? I have the original CD, of course, for Windows. And can I do an installation where it just does a repair rather than a complete reinstallation of the operating system?
Yeah, but it's not going to repair the registry. You might want to use a program, say, like RegCleaner.
I have a program called RegInOut, which was recommended on one of the sites I was visiting, and it seems to be a reputable program.
Because that's what you're after, and this is why, again, we tell folks...
Even Revo to uninstall.
I tried Revo to uninstall a number of...
part of the thing is Shockwave is a very old program that's barely used anymore, and you should probably uninstall it.
Mm-hmm. I tried doing that, again, with Revo, and... I don't know. It's not a complete reinstallation. And there are some sites that insist on using it. I mean, actually.
It was replaced by Flash. The Flash installer you probably need, but the Shockwave you don't need.
Right.
And they may be using both terms in the same error dialog, too. They might be saying Shockwave
Flash.
Yeah,
it's confused.
Yes.
But, Reg Cleaner would be one of them. Revo, that's why we tell folks, when you get a brand new computer, put Revo Uninstaller on it first. And use that to uninstall, because anything after, or you put on before Revo, and you took on and off and everything else, Revo isn't always going to catch it all. So that's where RegClean will go through. It'll go through the whole registry, and it'll look for orphan things in the registry that are no longer, pointing to any particular reference.
Well, I did use a RegCleaner type. Several, actually, and it did find quite a few errors, but even after that was completed, I'm still having a lot of issues.
Is it okay if I ask a silly question?
Sure.
Have you simply tried downloading the Flash installer and installing it?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I think you need to download the Shockwave uninstaller first.
Okay. And we're going to put a link to that?
I've done that, too, yes.
Shockwave and Flash as two separate uninstallers.
Right. I understand that. Okay. There are two. So it's still leaving me with issues. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm tending to think I'm going to have to do some kind of reinstallation. Now, I do have backups. I use CrashPlan. I've used it quite a long time. So if I have to, I can do a restore using that. But then I'd lose some information from the last several weeks at least.
Yeah, and those backups, again, are going to have the images of the current registry, which has got all that stuff in it.
Well, it'll have the images of the registry from some previous point in time when I wasn't having quite as many problems.
Well, if you reinstall Windows and then just restore your documents from the from CrashPlan, that shouldn't bring the bad registry entries back
correct.
In.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what version of Windows did you say?
7.
What if you just go back into one of the restore points?
Unfortunately,
you turn that off.
I've been using CrashPlan. I got kind of lazy about not doing restore points.
Okay.
So the old last restore point
Wait a minute. Have you actually gone into the accessories folder, down to system tools, and gone into the system restore to see what points that it might still have?
Yes. It was the last one was 2012.
Uh huh.
Ouch.
Well, the good news is, if you when you did your CrashPlan backups, did you tell it to back up just your Windows folder that represents
everything.
You? Okay, you told it to do everything. Mm-hmm. What I think I'd recommend is if you decide to, what we call, nuke the whole machine and start from scratch.
It's the only way to be sure.
From orbit. That's right.
From orbit, yes.
That's right. Old movie reference. Thanks for indulging us. The thing to do, I think, would be to nuke the machine, start over, reinstall Windows 7, install the applications you care about, install the CrashPlan client again, log in with your CrashPlan username and password, and then simply pull down the documents you care about. That gives you a nice clean installation. You know precisely what's been installed because you did it.
Right.
And that way you can restore your documents as well. CrashPlan by default backs up your stuff every 15 minutes unless you tell it otherwise.
Right.
So that you shouldn't lose an awful lot of time doing that. And your registry is going to be rebuilt as you reinstall Windows and reinstall those applications. So I think that might be the best way to go.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that would be one of the options. Again, so you're saying there's no way to do a limited repair, which will in fact just repair like the registry
Not as safely as reinstalling completely. So you can try something like RegClean, you can try something like Revo, but they can only do so much with the live registry.
Revo doesn't clean anything. It just removes specific programs and a lot of extra
right and their registry points. Yeah, so
it would not be removed. Yeah, it will uninstall.
Right. And Revo can find programs in the registry that have been uninstalled and can try to remove them.
Yeah.
There's a what do they call that? A deep scan or
yeah, deep scan. It does an extra scan and takes a while, but it does remove the extra files. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, got a lot of work ahead of me then. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, fine.
Good luck.
Well, yeah, it's, the holiday vacations are coming up. So
yeah, lots of spare time.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
A nice glass of eggnog and get to it.
And so that's, thank you. So that's what we were saying earlier about a long restore, because then you install the OS and all the updates, and then put your antivirus program on.
And Revo and install
And then install all your applications again and all those updates.
Find your local 12-year-old and hand him $20.
Yeah.
And tell him the order that you want to install. But again, key thing is put the Revo uninstaller on it first.
That's right.
And use that program to take anything off, because it, unlike Windows that just turns off one bit, this actually removes all the references both in the registry and in all the folders, removing that totally, keeping your machine a lot cleaner and running faster.
Now, for those of you, hello everybody, who saw us on the video stream, you could actively see all of us exhale peacefully when the guy said he had backups. Yep. How nice was that to hear? Because so many of the calls
doesn't happen.
You could see us all go, oh, good, he's got backups.
Yeah.
So you can be one of those people too. and we recommend it.
And copying your file to a flash drive 6 months ago isn't really a backup.
It's a start. It's better than nothing.
A lot of people think they can use a flash drive to back up. And for a few documents you can, but most of the time, especially your pictures, backing up to a hard drive is much easier. We used to back up to floppies until it started taking hundreds of floppies.
Yeah.
And then we backed up to CD until it started taking hundreds of CDs.
Then
and
DVD.
Now it's one hard drive.
Right.
Well, you know what?
What's that?
Speaking of flash drives and that, I have one that just came in a day or so ago.
Uh-huh.
The lady had the flash drive in her laptop, backing up her thesis.
Of course.
Went to grab the machine.
Ooh.
With the flash drive still in it, her hand hit the flash drive. Now, these are not the most sturdy of devices as far as holding up to hand pressure.
Yep.
Okay.
They will bend down.
What happened next?
Totally destroyed the flash drive.
Oh, no.
I've been playing with it for a couple days now, trying to get...
Just snapped off the connector? Or?
Because what folks don't understand, on that flash drive, it looks pretty sturdy, but it's just very cheap metal that's protecting this plastic.
Yeah.
And that plastic has four fingers in there that are soldered to this little tiny board.
Little tiny circuit board on the inside with the memory.
And once those are broken, getting that repaired is not easy.
Right. Do you have one of those flow soldering machines at your shop?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A puddle of solder.
On the back side of the garage.
We got three of them.
One of the things I like is there are flash drives that are so physically tiny, they barely stick out, a quarter inch.
Yeah, those are good.
Mm-hmm. Those are good.
Yeah.
But a lot of they're more expensive than the physically bigger ones.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to do it. Another way, some laptops have an actual SD card slot in the side, and you can take an SD card, which are not typically very expensive.
No.
Or even a micro SD with an SD adapter and put those in. That makes a convenient place to save things. And if you buy a relatively new laptop, and like we were talking about at the top of the show, a lot of laptops these days, especially in the smaller categories, the amount of storage space they have is fixed, and there's no way to upgrade it after you buy this unit. So if you've bought one a couple of years ago, it may only have 128 gigs of storage space, or maybe even only 64. You might want more than that. And a good way to do that is to see if you've got some sort of storage slot that you can add flash storage to, or some type of SD card.
Or, like we've been promoting, back it up to the cloud.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, if you've got it up to the cloud, and say even on Google Drive, if she had it up there and backing it up there, doesn't matter what device you're on. You could be on a tablet.
Right.
You could be anywhere in the country. You don't have to be at home. As long as you can get to your Google Drive, you've got their documents.
Right. Or Dropbox or Box.net. Yeah,
any of those.
You should make a distinction.
And they all give you all the cloud syncing services, give you free space to try it out with.
And here's the other advantage. Bless you. Here's the other advantage. Is say... all right, you back it up and you got it at home. And you've got a copy at school or at work. And they want to make some revisions.
Right.
Instead of having to go all the way back home, take the time to drive all the way back there, pull it up, do whatever, bring it back and do it. If you had it up on the cloud, you'd be able to pull it up, make the modifications, and print it right there.
That's right. Yeah, gas isn't getting any cheaper, so
anything
you can do.
Well, it is, but it's your time and the time you're wasting.
Yeah, that's true. And we should make a distinction between cloud backup and cloud storage.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud backup, like with these online tools, Mozy, Carbonite, CrashPlan, versus cloud storage, Google Drive. What does Amazon call theirs? We'll come back to it.
S3. Yeah.
Microsoft has their SkyDrive or OneDrive, yeah, whatever they're calling it this week.
They had to rename it because Sky Television sued them.
Oh, cute. or Google's.
Apple's iCloud.
That's right. So those are like hard drives in the sky where you can store something to make it more accessible, mm-hmm. whereas these other products, Mozy, Carbonite, CrashPlan, etc., those are backup storage. Those
right.
are not something you would expect to connect to and see your files immediately.
So with the cloud syncing programs like Google Drive and Dropbox, if a file is corrupted or deleted from the Dropbox, it's deleted from the internet too.
That's right.
So it's not
it's important to make
that
distinction.
It's not a backup. Yeah, it's a sync. In fact, we had a caller, I still remember this, ages ago, had bought a syncing program and synced her hard drive to a flash drive or a folder.
Uh-huh.
And then just to see if it worked, it deleted it from the hard drive because she didn't understand the difference between sync and backup.
Right.
So it conveniently synchronized her empty folder.
It synchronized the nothing to over nothing, to where there was something so yep. that it would be nothing.
And made it nothing again, so it synced it.
You will be sad.
Yep. So backup is a second copy. And at least a second copy. In fact, we talked about the what was that book? The Digital Asset Management book.
You're talking about the damn book.
The damn book. I didn't want to say that on the air. Digital
D-A-M.
Asset
That's
Management
it.
Book. Yep.
That's right.
They talk about the 3-2-1 backup strategy.
Yep.
You should have three copies of all your data, and it should be on two different media.
Uh-huh.
And one of them should be off-site.
Right.
So fire, flood, theft, the computer and the backup hard drive sitting right next to it don't get destroyed at the same time.
That's right. Yeah, you want to have multiple layers of protection. And following that 3-2-1 rule from the digital asset, is it manual or digital asset media? How do they call that? Digital asset management
yeah.
Okay.
And it's specifically geared for photographers.
That's the original
idea. Because if your business
idea.
Is photography, you want to make sure your clients' pictures, that great wedding shot you took is gone now and
well,
you're mm-hmm. upset.
And this in today's
we're
universe,
all
we're all digital yeah. photographers. If you are taking pictures on your phone, guess what? You're a digital photographer. And these rules are now applicable to you. This mm-hmm. original book was written a while ago.
And it's on sale for Cyber Monday.
Oh, wonderful.
25% off.
That's great. We should post a link.
I'm trying to find something interesting to post here.
Okay. But yeah, keeping multiple copies of things you care about
is really... It's a damn
book.
It's thedamnbook.com.
Uh-huh.
And it's damn useful. Damn useful publishing. Digital asset management, DAM.
That's right. Not anything else.
Not anything else.
The acronyms we come up with yep. in the computer world.
Well, actually, what is it? Mount Morris. The Great Mount Morris Dam down there. One of their town slogans is, it's the best town by a dam site. and every couple of election generations, the new elected officials want to remove the slogan because it's naughty.
Uh-huh.
And then two or three elections later, it will come back online again.
Yeah. Well, that pendulum swings back and forth all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's like, build a bridge, get over it.
So keeping multiple copies of information you care about really falls upon you and you, the listener, to make sure that your things stay safe. And this is a great way to do that. Follow that 3-2-1 rule of mm-hmm. having three copies in two different places, one of them being off-site away from
yep.
where you do your work.
Because it's going to be too late when you come in and say, or the other thing folks will do
yeah.
is they'll see their hard drive on their laptop.
Uh-huh.
It's got a C and a D drive.
Uh-huh.
And they see there's some space in the D.
Oh.
And they think, oh, I can put some stuff over there. That should be safe.
Right. They're very excited because they found this new space.
Yeah, they found this extra space. Folks, that
Don't
other
do that.
Letter is just part of that same drive. There's one physical drive in there.
Yep.
So if that crashes, you can't bring it in to us and say, well, it's on the D
drive. It's on the D drive.
If the C's gone, D went with it.
That's right.
It ain't coming back.
All right. So a lot of people say C, D. What's going on here? So what happened is companies are always trying to find ways to make more money, to be more competitive. And the thing that they do is they try and figure out where can they cut out additional features and still make money to compete against everyone else who's doing the same thing. A million years ago, you'd get disks with your drives, and now they've actually taken the content of those disks and put them on the hard drive in that second partition, so that if something happens to your C drive, you can still reinstall the OS without needing disks.
There you go. All right, tell you what, folks, more great information like that coming up in the next 20 minutes, but you know, if you still have a question, we've still got a little time. Pick up the phones, give us a call at 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We will return in just a few moments with more sound bites right here on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
And welcome back to this edition of Sound. Control your dad. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
Going wild here.
It's the music.
So you should be watching the video stream.
If you're not, you should be.
So on the soundbites.org main website, down the right-hand side, there's a, under Fascinating Stuff, we have the live video stream. You can also see the past few episodes as well, pre-recorded video. Audio and video on demand.
Nice.
The podcast link on the front page isn't working, but if you go into the archives, they are working. And if you subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or other podcatchers, the podcast is working. So
that's right.
You can download the audio files after the fact.
Right. So you can definitely go into iTunes and search for Soundbites with a Y, and find all of the previous episodes.
It's another one of those things Nick is trying to get around to.
Don't worry. That's what I'm going to get him for the holidays is a round to it.
Round to it. Yeah. Oh boy! But like I said, if you folks, we still have a few minutes. If you want to pick up the phone, give us a call at 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. We can still squeeze your questions in. Trying to think of some other stuff that was.
Here's something that that I got a while back that I thought was kind of cool. Now, admittedly, I don't use it all the time, but it's called a kilowatt. Like K-I-L-L-A-W-A-T-T. And what you do is you plug this device into the wall, and it's got this little display on it with numbers, and then you plug in an appliance to it, like an air conditioner or a refrigerator or your TV. And as you use the device, it will tell you how many watts of electricity it's using. So if you ever wonder, what is the thing in my house that's making my energy bill so high, and you're not quite sure what it is, or if you just wonder, how many watts is my computer using, or how many watts is my new flat panel TV using, or compared to, you know, a plasma that you might be researching to replace it with, then this is something you can do.
Written on the device will be the maximum wattage it will use.
But that's probably not what it's using.
Yeah.
The good news is this is a solid state device. There's no moving parts in it. It lasts a long time. And if you've got gadgets for everything else, this is a neat thing to have nearby. It's really cool to see that your old computer might have been using 100, 120 watts, whereas your new laptop might be only using 45.
And it's only like $20. It's pretty inexpensive.
It's really neat. You can even put in how much the electricity costs, and it will keep track. So you can keep it like plugged in with your fridge and see how much your electricity your fridge uses in a month.
All right, tell you what, let's go back to the phones. We got James from Rochester. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, my question is, how come sometimes when I'm on the internet and I switch from one site to another, the little box pops up to ask me leave page or not, and then it says NULL in it. What is that?
So the thing that's asking you if you want to leave a page or not, typically I see that on pages where you're typing something in and you haven't committed that whatever you're typing in to the page yet. I see that on Facebook quite a bit.
Yeah, I get this if I, you know, like the bookmarks or the favorites.
Uh-huh.
If I'm going from one to the next, I click it, and sometimes it does it, and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I'm not exactly sure which sites we're talking about.
What does that mean, N-U-L-L?
N-U-L-L is the word null, N-U-L-L. And it represents nothing. It represents a value of there's no data here. That's what the computer...
I was just wondering why sometimes it asks me and sometimes it doesn't.
It's, as Dennis was saying, we often see that if you're typing something on a page and then try to go to another bookmark before hitting enter or clicking OK.
This isn't the typing, no.
But it may be that in your favorite that you've saved, it's pointing to a page that has something on it that was trying to be typed.
Yeah, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
And then sub websites just don't want you to leave because they're making money while you're there.
That's true.
You, yeah.
Yeah. And so
true.
It's warning you. Are you sure you want to leave our site to go to a different site?
But there's nothing I can do to get rid of that.
Generally, no. It's the other end doing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's another one of those annoying little things that we've run into. You know, sites don't want you to leave because you're looking at their ads, and so they want you to stay there.
That's right.
Sometimes the warning message may be a little better if you are typing something in a search or filling out a form and you leave that page before you're done filling it out. It will warn you that you've typed something in and haven't saved it yet.
That's right.
But you don't often get that good of an error message.
All right, tell you what, I think we still got a few minutes. Go ahead, Brian, you've got a question?
Are you there, Brian?
You there, Brian? Oh, lost him.
All right. No worries. We'll get it figured out. All right, Brian, if you're there, give us a call back. Yeah, so the one site that doesn't do that I'm kind of surprised is Gmail. Gmail will save your progress as you're typing. And so when you switch to something else, it will...
Let's try it again here. Go ahead, Brian.
Still nothing.
Yeah, it's...
The phone messed up?
Yeah.
We need to reboot the phone system?
Don't worry. We'll pad a little. We can tap dance. Watch this. No. So, Steve, what are the big sellers where you live these days?
Well, it's interesting. We were just talking about that this morning, that the tablet sales are up, and we're wondering how much of that is cannibalizing laptop sales.
People that choose to buy a tablet instead of a laptop, instead of in addition to a laptop.
And many times you can get two tablets, three tablets for the price of one laptop. And that lets everyone in the house have their own tablet instead of trying to share one laptop.
Right.
So we have started seeing a general trend of one big desktop machine with a nice big 20-inch monitor for the family. And then other people have tablets or the bigger smartphones now. And we're seeing sort of that decentralized computing again. So everyone in the household has their own device, and there's no fighting over who has the computer now.
Right. One of the things, and I'm going to put one last item that you can put in your kids' stockings or give to somebody else, is the gift of time spent with them. And one of the ways you can do that is simply by buying a deck of cards and putting it in their stocking, and then teaching niece, nephew, child, how to play your favorite card game that you played growing up.
Go fish.
Well, that's a good start for the younger
Flinch.
Kids.
Flinch. My grandma taught us Flinch.
I don't know Flinch.
And grandpa was so mad at us because cards were evil.
Oh?
Because cards meant gambling.
Well.
But no, grandma said we could play Flinch.
We used to play a game called Spit, which was...
I don't know that one.
All right, well, I'll teach you later. But that's a way that you can get together with your family and share stories and talk about, who taught you this game, and did you learn this at the picnic table over summer camp, or did you learn this, from your grandparents? And it's a great way to spend time. And
Milborn, we played that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Milborn in our family was huge, and I was surprised how many people had
heard of it. But you have to say it with the French accent, Milborn.
My parents taught that to me, and we tried to find it to give to my brother a couple of years ago, and finally found it. But they've changed all the cards. They're not the cool 1960s graphics anymore. They're something else. But it's still a fun game. My kids love that game.
Couffere!
That's right. If you haven't played Mealborn,
it's how we learned French. So we learned German by watching Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes.
We learned French by playing Mealborn.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but a good card game with your friends or family is always a good time. And that's something that the batteries never run out on. And as long as you can find somebody else to play with, you can have a lot of fun.
Yep. So Flinch was invented in 1901.
Okay.
And Mealborn in 1954.
Okay.
So that's why my grandparents knew about it, because
right.
That was their generation.
My grandparents taught me how to play Canasta during the summertime.
Never got into Canasta or Pinochle.
But I didn't know.
In fact, when I started seeing the word Pinacoli, what the hell was Pinacoli? Oh, Pinochle.
Right. That was always a good one. But yep. Yeah, a deck of cards, super cheap. You can pick it up at your local drugstore. Throw it in the stocking.
How did my late wife?
Let's look at.
I think she used to call it U-tree?
Instead
of euchre.
Instead of euchre.
U-tree.
Yep.
Yes,
that was huge.
Do you know how to play U-tree? I go. You mean euchre? Yeah.
No. U-tree.
Yeah.
When I was at Kodak, everyone played euchre at lunch. It seemed to be the big thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we had tournaments in it.
Wow.
Oh yeah, it was quite unique back in the day.
Yeah,
that's right. So don't underestimate the idea of a simple gift that gets people together. So many times we talk about tablets and phones, and you see all these people walking around that are just staring at these little glowing screens all day. So a way to spend time with your family and your loved ones and people you want to share time with is always appreciated.
All right, you know what? That tells me that, you know, another 2 hours of your life are gone. I want to thank Steve. I'd like to thank Dennis and his lovely daughter for coming in and helping us answer all these great questions. And like always, as Nick would always say, next week, you know, we will be back in 166 hours. And if you weren't able to get on the air, which I will admit we had some technical difficulties there with the last caller, but we'll have that fixed by next week so you can call in with your computer questions. But you know what? George is coming up next with the greatest German music going on, and Mike will try to keep him in control if he can. But, you know, hey, stay tuned for all this great music and more to come here on member-supported Jazz 90.1, and we will see you next week.